The information included in this podcast is for informational purposes only. Nothing discussed here is intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, and never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you heard on this podcast.
Hello everyone, this is Victoria Porter. I'm a licensed clinical social worker. You're listening to the Healthy Hot Springs podcast from the Razorback Campercell Studios. Health is our most important asset, and on this show, I sit down with local health professionals to discuss opportunities and strategies for you to get healthy hot springs. Today in the studio, I would like to welcome Kelsey Hammonds. She is a licensed clinical social worker from Little Rock, correct?
That's right.
Well, I appreciate you coming from Little Rock to talk about, we're specifically discussing women's health today, and you are certified in perinatal mental health, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So tell our listeners a little about yourself and exactly what that certification means.
Yeah, so I'm certified in perinatal mental health, meaning that I have taken specialty courses and training for maternal and perinatal mental health. So that perinatal time frame, I usually start there, is defined anytime you're thinking about having kids. That's what I'm certified in. So anytime before you have kids, anytime you are pregnant, postpartum, and I even consider it in those early years of parenting. I also work with women and parents who have experienced loss, perinatal loss, and so anything really that's coming up in their life through the perinatal time period. So I've took training on that, and I've sat for a clinical exam to be like a board certified exam to be certified.
And you know, we talked about this because I was looking for someone, you know, because this is based in Hot Springs, our podcast is, and I was hoping to find someone in Hot Springs, and there is no one in Hot Springs certified in perinatal mental health. And I was totally surprised by that.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that is, that there are so few mental health professionals in that field?
Well, so the certification is relatively new. 2018 is when they first came out with it, even though some people have been working, you know, in that field without the official certification for years. I know maternal mental health has been a thing for a long time. So I'm not really sure if that's part of it. I don't really know. I know that there have been people that have maybe taken the trainings or are maybe interested in working with new moms and new parents. And you would know more about that here around.
Yeah.
But I know that you were trying to find some people, and yeah, it didn't seem like you had a lot of luck on that.
Yeah, and no one that would consider themselves more of, you know, an expert in the field. And it's, for me, you know, just as a woman in general, because we talk about, so we had, it's been a few podcasts back, but we had a wonderful guest on, Julie Williams, who spoke about her own struggles, you know, with postpartum depression.
Mm-hmm.
And that she really kind of had to advocate for herself and kind of continue kind of pushing her nurse and her doctor and saying, you know, I don't feel right. I don't mm-hmm. think this is right. And I think that that's kind of a little of my frustration mm-hmm. in the process. I guess it's like, why do we have to push so hard mm-hmm. and work so hard to advocate for this type of mental health when we know
mm-hmm.
it is such a, I don't know, is difficult time the right word? Like how, I mean, you're the expert in that area. So what word would you, challenging time, different time?
I would describe it as kind of disorienting.
Okay.
I also had a child in 2020, in February 2020, so right before the pandemic hit. So she's about to be three now. So I kind of called that my immersive internship. After being certified, I was like, I guess I'm still in that unpaid internship too.
Right.
And to me, it definitely feels a little disorienting for a few different reasons. There's the identity shift that anyone might go through of becoming a parent. And I think that's like kind of a normal biological identity shift. We're kind of getting used to things. Our relationships shift and our relationships with other people, or even the relationships that we may have had, like our caregivers growing up, some of that maybe neglect that we didn't even consider neglect, emotional needs that maybe weren't met. All of that seems to come out either during pregnancy or like in early parenthood when you're trying to navigate, you know I don't want that template that was handed down to me, but I don't know what to do. And then there's another, which is just managing the emotions, the nervous system, regulation, that I think becomes like a big challenge and why people end up coming or seeking help in the first place. They're feeling that dysregulation from all of those, most of those three things. And of course there's biological factors. There's, you know, hormone challenges and other social factors that can come
into
play.
Support systems and
for sure.
And work stress and right. And you were talking about, as we were just kind of discussing before, about, you know, this is a time of sickness.
Mm-hmm.
And if your kids are sick, you need help, right? You have to either be at home with him, with them and miss work, or, you know, what does that system look like? And it's very stressful.
It is. Yeah. It's very stop and go. And yeah, I mean, I think disorienting is a really, was a word that I use. It can also be just really dysregulating and disruptive to our nervous system. You know, on one hand, we might feel this beautiful bond or not with our child. We maybe love our child so much. And on the other hand, we don't know why we're feeling so odd and weird. And like you mentioned, that lack of support and that community support is kind of lost in our current day, modern day culture.
Mm-hmm.
We're a very individualized and independent culture. And
yes.
So what is missing from that, I think that as humans we need, especially after giving birth, is that nurturing, caregiving, loving support that unfortunately a lot of mothers just do not get.
Yeah.
You know, and especially add in COVID, when everything was like normalized to be more distant, mothers were suffering more than ever.
Because you were afraid to expose your child to anything,
right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, because they couldn't get vaccinated. And yeah, it's a lot. But I do think that part of the conversation, I kind of talk about this a lot on the podcast, that I, you know, just to kind of normalize that. A lot of people struggle during this time.
Yeah.
So what separates that from, and let me just say, it doesn't matter. At any point in time, it's good to go and talk to someone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're even, honestly, if you're not struggling, it's still good to go and talk to someone.
Mm-hmm.
There's just something so cathartic and healing about it. But apart from that, when is it kind of really important, I guess I'll say, that you start to seek out some help? What are some warning signs that, okay, perhaps this is more than what the normal person is struggling with? And, you know, and is it just postpartum? Because you talked about, you know, as I know a lot of people struggle with infertility and they're going through fertility treatments and things like that, which can be incredibly difficult as well.
Yeah. So if you're wanting to, you know, start the process of even getting pregnant, or you think that you might want to be a parent one day, I always encourage anyone, like you mentioned, go to therapy, start to explore yourself, explore your, you know, where you've come from, your history, that sort of thing. Especially when, you know, seeking out a perinatal mental health professional, I think it's really important to look into you know, what are the challenges that are coming up, and how do those three things that we just mentioned, your identity, your relationships, and your emotions kind of come into play there? I think a therapist who's trained in perinatal mental health, and some specialize in specifically like infertility and loss, and they have like their own niche areas, but I think that's a really important thing to consider. When we're thinking just postpartum or even in pregnancy, if you are struggling in pregnancy, I always encourage someone to come see me or come see a perinatal mental health therapist, because just to think that that might go away post-birth is most likely not going to be the case. So I like to have people come and say, okay, let's explore some of those things, maybe process some of those things, maybe get some, you know, medical rollouts for what's happening here hormonally, or look at what's happening in your life, see if we can bring in some regulation. And that way we can really prepare for birth and prepare for postpartum, or help you with some of the anxiety and fears around becoming a parent. So that's a lot of what I work with then. But postpartum, I tell people, if I've been working with you already, I like to see my clients, even just a telehealth or just a phone call, just check in. Let's do a quick assessment at the very least 2 weeks postpartum. Because by 2 weeks, if you have any baby blues or you're having anything that's beyond what does the typical quote baby blues, you know, just the hormones rebalancing and all of that, if you're having anything beyond that 2 weeks, then there's probably something else, whether it's physically, mentally, emotionally going on, that we probably need additional, more holistic support with.
Kelsey, can you speak to that just a little bit though? Because you said, I know you use the term struggle, if you're struggling in the pregnancy, what does that mean? Can you give an example of, and so here's my thinking on that, because I'm, you know, I work as a grief therapist, and a lot of people feel like, oh, I'm supposed to be feeling this bad because this bad thing happened, and, you know, I'm grieving, and I'm supposed to feel this way. And they don't realize that there are things that you can do, you know, to help yourself feel better. You're not supposed to feel that bad all the time, right? So speak to that in terms of perinatal health. Whenever you say struggle, kind of drill down on that a little bit and explain to me an example. Someone listening may not quite, they may think, oh, I feel like I'm struggling, but I think most people struggle when they're pregnant. So what is an example of perhaps it's time to talk to someone?
Yeah, I mean, I think with any mental health, when it becomes a real, you know, what we define as disorder is when it like impairs your function in life. Like you're not able to really either even identify your values or live out the values that you've identified. You're not feeling like you're really able to function physically or mentally.
Disruptive to your day,
right,
to your work.
Yes.
Perhaps you're arguing more with your family members, or
right,
you're missing a lot of work, or you have trouble, you know, getting out of bed
crying
in the morning. Yeah.
Excessively feeling like, you know, like you said, can't get out of bed, just feeling really shut down, or maybe even the opposite, feeling really panicked and kind of on edge. When those symptoms specifically start to affect and interfere with your ability to function and go to work and manage your relationships, I think is when I suggest that, you know, maybe you can go get some support for that.
And I like that you, because you firmly believe in the idea of there doesn't have to be anything wrong for you to come and to your therapist. Let's establish this relationship before. And that way, whenever you're going through this perinatal process, you have someone that you trust and someone who knows the history and perhaps can help you identify, okay, this is not normal, right? I love the idea of let's get in front of it, kind of preventive, holistic care.
Yeah, I'm really big about nervous system regulation. So how do we find ways to one, identify when your nervous system is dysregulated and helping people to recognize, you know, we all find ourselves dysregulated. It's just about not getting stuck in that dysregulation. How do we help you kind of come into that, what I like to call the window of tolerance? So how do we tolerate the stress that we're given, even if it's in pregnancy or postpartum, to the point where it's not interfering with the function of our life so severely that we're not able to actually do what we want to do and live our life? Being a new mom can really, you know, feel dysregulating because you're trying to be a new mom. You're probably not sleeping a lot. You're probably not getting all the nutrients. You know, your vitals are not, are probably going secondary needs before your baby, a lot of us. So there becomes a lot of learning in how do I meet my own needs when I'm also taking care of this baby that's only dependent on me.
And you just want a shower. It's hard to even get a shower.
Right. And I think that's where the importance of that, you know, community support comes in.
Yeah.
And that's also a unique way that I, you know, I'm a social worker background. So the social worker in me is like, okay, I know that I, as a therapist, may not be able to provide all of the resources and skills and tools that you need. Like, I know that. So I like to help people say, what do you do that you're already doing outside of therapy? What are your support systems? What do they look like? And if that is set at zero, we start there. We start to build that. And that might look like getting support from maybe a doula, you know, somebody that could come into your house to support you postpartum, do some light housework, help you hold the baby while you get some rest, or help take care of some of your older children while you get some rest.
Or maybe helping you find a mom's group,
right?
Where I think a lot of our things, we think that no one else understands what we're going through. And then you talk to other new moms and they're like, oh, yeah.
Yes.
And this is what I do, right? You can get, you know, I think a lot of resources are like, you know, this is what helped me. Why don't you try that? But I think whenever we talk about motherhood, I think we have to speak to social media.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you? All right. So you just reacted to that. How do you feel about new moms and social media?
So it's very interesting, I think, right now. I have an Instagram. It's focused on perinatal, you know, focused and parenthood, the perinatal social worker. And I like to speak and highlight like the realness of what motherhood brings and the realness of like that dysregulation that we're talking about. And it's funny because even right now I feel like there is a lot of healing going on in the space of mothers. Like there's a lot of awareness to generational trauma, if you've noticed, like that becomes trendy. Like there's a lot of more awareness to what's happening in the nervous system. There's a lot more awareness to things that are so dysregulating and making, you know, sensory overload type of feelings in motherhood to the point that that becomes overwhelming too.
Okay.
So there's like one side of Instagram or social media that I think for a long time has been like, this is the beautiful side and it's nothing but beautiful. And then I think in the last few years we've started to highlight, okay, there's also some not so beautiful sides. Like, that feels good to me that we're normalizing that. And at the same time, I feel like if we are just scrolling and seeing all
kind
of it
negative,
all together,
yeah.
All of it together, I think, is just a very overwhelming experience. So my personal view is, you know, set a time limit, go on, look and find some like things that might be helpful for you, save them. But I always tell all my clients, be attuned with yourself. Be attuned with your baby. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're seeking that external, like, authorization for how to parent your child from the way that, you know, Susie Homemaker is making it look on Instagram.
Who has six children and homeschools and bakes and, you know, has time to make all these things.
It looks so connected. Yeah. And it's, we have to kind of be attuned to our own children's needs. And so I always say, like, start with your own child. Read your own child, not necessarily all the mommy blogs. Like, there might be some helpful tidbits there, but if you're going to read them, if you're going to look at it, always look at it from that regulated lens of, I'm going to take this with a grain of salt. This isn't my experience, but that's great for them. That's great for them if they can do that. That's great for them if they can share that. But
it truly does add that pressure of perfection, though, right? And kind of that idea of, oh, it's supposed to be, I'm supposed to feel this way toward my child all the time. And newborns are hard on a marriage, right? It truly is a difficult time. The lack of sleep, the change in your life. You know, I think that sometimes we look at social media and we think, oh, why is this so hard for me?
Yeah.
It's hard for them too.
Yeah.
That's not their real life.
Yeah. And I think, I do like the direction that I think most social media is going, is like highlighting some things. That I think is new. I don't think that's always been that way, especially in the last couple of years. So that is helpful. But yeah, there's still, I mean, we still look subconsciously to those, you know, those images of the like, everything's white in the house and how do they keep everything clean? And what's been more beautiful, actually, recently, I follow, her name's Birth Trauma Mama is who I follow on Instagram. And she showed, like, some, like, realness of, like, what was going on in her house. She was like, how do we keep it all together? We're really, literally not. And so she kind of started this trend where we all started kind of showing, you know, here's our pretty Christmas tree in this one pocket that you see on the internet. And then, like, let's actually start showing
the dirty laundry,
what it looks like to live with a toddler. And know, like, hey, it's, you might clean the house and 5 minutes later it's where it is again. Or you might be living in that all week. And that's. Both of those are okay.
So again, just kind of normalizing that it's difficult at times, but beautiful.
Yeah.
Hopefully. And beautiful parts to it.
Yeah. I think it takes someone to recognize, again, kind of going back to, like, if this causing me distress, is being on social media, looking, who am I following, and is it making me feel bad about myself?
How do I feel after, and that's what I ask, like, once you're off, so be on for a little while, and then whenever you're off, how do I feel? When you, that moment, whenever you close it, do you feel better or do you feel worse?
Yeah.
And if you feel worse, there's, it's time for changes.
Yes.
So, you know, just pay attention to that.
That's good.
How many steps do you take if you have a rock in your shoe? Not many. Well, if you have to walk on a prosthetic leg that does not fit, it is like walking with a rock in your shoe. Although there are many innovations when it comes to prosthetic feet and knees, the comfort of a prosthesis begins with the fit of the socket. Michael Kenny is a certified prosthetist who has been walking on a prosthetic leg since he was 16 years old after losing his leg to a motorcycle accident. He is committed to fitting prosthetic legs so they are comfortable, intimate, and optimize ease of walking. Motility Prosthetics has been in Hot Springs since 2015, but Michael Kenny has been building legs for over 25 years. All fabrication is done on site. There are no delays from having to ship to a fabrication house. Adjustments can easily be made on the spot. Motility means the spontaneous ability to move. At Motility Prosthetics, we want you to be able to walk on your prosthetic leg with a sense of spontaneity. Call for free consultation. 501-620-4800.
Let's speak a little bit to getting help. Obviously, you and I know you don't have to go to your doctor and they'll make a referral for a mental health professional. But that is often where people start. So can you speak to that a little bit about advocating for yourself with your medical professionals?
Yeah. So first and foremost, you know, I would start, like, if you're pregnant and you have a good relationship with your OB, you know, during pregnancy, like, start that conversation early. Maybe sometimes they're doing, you know, surveys and asking how you feel. Like, really tell them how you really feel, if you feel comfortable with that. I think the issue is that sometimes people feel scared to tell doctors how they feel, thinking that there's going to be some judgment or about, you know, how they're parenting or something like that. And then I think some doctors also don't always have the resources, but it is getting better. I think it is getting better in our state, specifically, but...
And Julie, whenever she was on here, you know, she spoke to, they just kind of brushed it aside and said, oh, you know, that's normal.
That's normal, yeah.
Yeah.
So Postpartum Support International, it is an organization, and they have a lot of resources. They have a directory that has the list of people who are certified or at least trained in your state. They also have a lot of free support groups for lots of different categories. Pregnancy, infertility, loss, moms of color, LGBTQ. I mean, there's all kinds of ranges of different types of support.
What's the name of it?
Postpartum Support International.
Postpartum Support International.
They have assessments on there that you can even ask yourself. So there are ways to kind of look at what those resources would even be, like you said, kind of bypassing the doctor.
Okay.
But even in the medical setting, you know, telling them how you feel physically, I am a big proponent of advocating for yourself to get your thyroid and your hormones tested.
Yeah.
Pregnancy and postpartum does a lot of impact on the endocrine system. And being someone who has had thyroid issues my whole life and has had a flare-up through postpartum,
I can see that.
It is something that I am with all my clients that come in, it may be a few months because I kind of push it a little bit, but I say, let's make sure that this medical rollout is cleared. Let's see what's going on with your thyroid. If that is impacting the way that you feel anxious, depressed, or any other type of symptoms, that can be a big physical body factor. And as we know, the mind and the body aren't, you know, two separate entities. Mm-hmm. It's all one system. And so that's a really helpful way that I think you can even get that conversation started with your medical providers, whether it's your OB or your PCP. In Little Rock, Cornerstone Clinic for Women, they specialize in hormones, and I always send a lot of our clients over there because they will do like the full lab testing for all of those things. So yeah, I feel like that's a good place to start that conversation, and then also know, like you said, you don't have to have like them to sign off on anything to go seek that mental health support.
Yeah, you can just write, just Google Psychology Today. We're all on it.
Yeah.
We post what insurances we take, and I know I've had the experience of people calling me and they're, you know, because I'm very specialized and I'm like, we all refer out to other people, like, you know, I know this person does that, you know, because we know our fellow therapists.
Yeah.
So just call one. They will help you for sure.
Speak
a little to this idea of, I feel like I'm a bad mom because I have, perhaps I'm not having these wonderful loving feelings about my crying, you know, child all the time. Does that make me a bad mom?
Yeah, I think there's a book that I really love to recommend. It's called Good Moms Have Scary Thoughts.
Good Moms Have Scary Thoughts.
Yes, Karen Kleiman, she is kind of the goat in the perinatal mental health world.
Okay.
I recommend that book because it talks about all of the different kind of intrusive thoughts, scary thoughts, physical sensations that we may have as a mom.
Can you give me an example of a scary thought? I'm just, for our listeners, you know, like, what would that be like?
A scary thought might be, I know that I would never do this, but every time I get at the top of my stairs, I just think about, what if I accidentally fell? Or what if I couldn't control myself and I threw my baby across the room? And I know that that sounds really jarring to probably some people, but these thoughts of you seeing, or these images of you seeing yourself doing something or hearing yourself, you know, think these things can be very jarring and scary
disturbing,
and disturbing for someone who's having them. And there's also no scientific correlation between someone actually having a thought or an image that's coming up in their brain about their child being hurt and them actually, like, hurting them. And I think that's something that we have to really bring out, because a lot of moms, you know, even if it's just, I'm going across the, you know, bridge, across the water, and what if the bridge collapsed and we all fell in? Or, you know, just little things like, what if I was walking on the sidewalk and I tripped and, you know, I busted the baby's head open? Like, there's a lot of, of those scary thoughts that people may have. So I like to normalize and say, there's a lot of other factors that could be causing those thoughts, but just because you have them doesn't make you a bad mom. You are still, the fact that you even are here with me and articulating that it scares you is clinically reassuring on my end as a therapist, because it's called, now I'm losing the word that we call it in therapy, but when the thought basically, when you're having scary feelings or distressful feelings, that's clinically reassuring to us. And it shows us that, you know, you're not actually going to do those thoughts. You're not in, like, a psychotic episode. It's just really disturbing to you. The anxiety is really high. And the fact that you even, you know,
you can acknowledge
that you're
that
a bad mom, is probably means you're a good mom, because you're trying to do something actively to, you know, make sure that thought doesn't happen.
I can see how a mom might not want to tell a thought like that to someone, though.
Right. No, and we don't. We don't share that. And I think that's why our training in perinatal mental health really emphasizes, hey, you know, moms may have some really scary thoughts, and we need to sit with them and allow them and kind of even show them and normalize it before they may ever say anything, that they may be having these things, and that doesn't make them a bad mom, a bad person. And if they want to share, they have that space, and that you're not immediately going to call DHS and report them because they're having a scary thought. And in our training, we really emphasize the difference in what is actually
a threat,
like a child maltreatment threat versus, you know, I have these scary thoughts and they're really distressful. This is why I'm seeking help, and really providing that safe space to hold that mom in and say, like, we can support you and help you find regulation. This doesn't mean that you're a bad mom or that you're ever going to do that really scary thing you're thinking of.
Yeah. And just know, you know, a lot of what we do is just kind of normalize this mental health process on here. And once you start talking about those types of things that are going on in your mind, that takes the power away from them.
Yeah.
The fact that it's in there and you're, you know, afraid to talk about it, that gives that thought the power. And as soon as you let it out and you start talking about it, that power's, you have the power then, right? That thought is no longer has any control over you at all.
And I really focus on that mind-body work in my therapy practice, where I try to tell people, like, we're going to quiet the brain a little bit. The brain is flooding you with thoughts and feelings. We're going to just change that channel. What's actually happening in your body when you have that thought? What's actually the sensations that are coming up, and helping them start from there? And we can kind of trace back, okay, is there another time in your life that you felt like this? And we can kind of start to explore the history from that, you know, more somatic or more body-based lens, versus just, you know, turning off that cognition just a little bit, is the way I kind of look at it. Sometimes that just starts with helping establish safety and grounding, and helping provide them resources and knowledge.
Like breathing exercises and, you know, things to meditate. Like I really like the 5-4-3-2-1 calming techniques, right? So y'all can Google those. We don't have time to go on the specifics of those. But, you know, deep breathing Navy SEALs are taught breathing exercises mm-hmm. as part of their, training. Lamaze mm-hmm. is about breathing. We can breathe through anything. Mm-hmm. You know, breathing is very, very important.
I have people use their baby as their resource, too, if they feel comfortable, if they're connected with their baby, especially if they don't want to be separated from their baby. I encourage people to bring the baby in, wear their baby, and use their baby as an anchor. You know, I'll draw attention, like, hey, look at the way that your baby, you may feel really anxious and you're telling me this, but look how safe and warm and comforted your baby feels. Mm-hmm. Or did you notice your baby kind of got a little like stirred up when you started to feel stirred up, and mm-hmm. kind of helping them see the impact of their own nervous system, not to the point where we're saying like, you know, your stress is causing them stress, but to the point where we can also give them the power that says you can also download your calm onto them as well. Okay. And that's been really pretty
that's
cool
wonderful.
To see that intersection of the infant and maternal mental health.
And, you know, I think a lot of people, in my experience, a lot of people kind of have an idea that there will kind of be like a aha moment that, I'm going to therapy and there will be this moment where I'm like, oh, okay. I feel better. I'm cured. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't work that way. You have to do small little things throughout your day, mm-hmm. every day. And then in a couple of months, 3 months, 4 months, you'll be like, oh, I actually do feel better.
Yeah.
Right? So it's those things that you do every day. Mm-hmm. It's not coming into therapy for an hour a week. Mm-hmm. It's the things that you're doing at home mm-hmm. to help yourself feel better. So can you give us just a few things perhaps a new mother can do to help herself each day feel better?
Yes. So about maybe 3 to 6 months into my postpartum journey, I started taking walks. Not for, you know, to bounce back, not for physical health, really, just because I needed the fresh air, I needed the sunshine, mm-hmm. I needed the little bit of movement. Because I had a cesarean, it took me about 3 months even to just get to the point where I could, like, walk around for longer stretches. So that's why I say that. So some people, just taking a simple walk, and even if it is stepping outside as that little step, like, you know, the first week that you start to kind of feel off, like just getting some fresh air, maybe even sitting by a window, like setting up a little station with you and your baby during the day, like by a window. Even in the winter, just kind of getting some fresh air breaks, like mm-hmm. feeling that air through your lungs. That can be so regulating, even just kind of getting that switch up environment, not just for you, but for your baby. And so if your baby's feeling calmer, you're probably a little bit more relaxed. There's that intersection again. And so I really strongly encourage regulation activities. All the ones that I teach it with my clients are things that you can do with a baby on your hip or a baby strapped to you if that's what you need.
So walking is a good one.
Walking, taking, like I said, fresh air breaks outside, checking in with yourself. Like every time you change the baby's diaper or go to the bathroom, I use those as like anchor points to habit stack on. So maybe every time you go to the bathroom or every time you change your baby's diaper, that's your cue to also take a breath, check in, and ask yourself, what do I need right now? What's one thing I can do for myself right now? Maybe that is just finishing and going to the bathroom, or maybe that's the breath that you just took. Or maybe you recognize, hey, I actually haven't drank any water today. Mm. I haven't had any protein or any kind of fat source. Like, I'm just running on carbs. No wonder I'm feeling a little frantic. My blood sugar, you know, checking in with those basic vital needs is regulation too. And that is what I tell people to originally start with. We can habit stack on that. Yes.
It's kind of pairing. I like this. So habit pairing, right? Yeah. So a non-perinatal example of habit pairing would be like, I can't watch TV unless I am, or I can't watch a certain show unless I'm on the treadmill.
Mm.
So to get your exercise mm-hmm. in, you can only do it while you're watching the, you know, the one 30-minute show that you really want to watch. Mm-hmm. So you pair those together to do one thing that you love doing and perhaps one thing you don't love so much, right? So I like this idea of pairing habits to make sure. But it sounds like just kind of some simple basic, mm-hmm. let's take care of ourselves physically,
yes.
is a great place to start. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as a new mom, I remember being able to take a shower, wash my hair.
Right.
And I think it's important to know that you can leave your baby safe in the crib while you take a shower mm-hmm. for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And even if they're crying, they will be okay. Mm-hmm. They're safe in that crib for 5 minutes while you take a shower, you know. Just kind of these basic, because I know I was always real reluctant to let my child cry, mm-hmm. you know, at all. It was just really nerve-wracking for me.
And there's biological reason for that. And so yes. when people come in and that's where they're at, I usually try to, if that's what they're looking at is unfelt safety, then we start, well, what does feel safe? Like, how do we make it feel mm-hmm. safer? Like, who could we leave baby with? Or could we bring something into the bathroom? If you're mm-hmm. the only one at home, like, you know, a swing or something into the bathroom where you can quickly, like, shower at least, or even just splash mm-hmm. your face with that water to get some of that regulation until maybe a partner comes home or maybe you get that relief. And I know somebody listening here is probably like, well, I'm single and I don't have anyone.
Yeah.
And I want to say that I feel for you in that. And that is also, you know, we work with wherever you're at. And so what I mean by that is some people might feel really, really anxious and just letting their baby cry. And we work with that too.
And I think you also, I feel like we could talk forever on this. We're running out of time, but I do think there's also the aspect of, you know, when your partner comes home from a stressful day at work and you're like, here, you know, take this baby, I need a break. That's stressful for them too, mm-hmm. you know, and that's why it's so difficult, you know, mm-hmm. they're on so many levels,
yes.
you know, it's that support system is so, so mm-hmm. very important. And yes. I just normalize that your baby is safe in a crib for 5 minutes to cry. It's okay. Mm-hmm. They will be okay. You know, mm-hmm. I know we got to a stage where, my daughter was in one of those exerciser mm-hmm. saucer things mm-hmm. and I would just set her in the bathroom in their exercise mm-hmm. and I could see her, mm-hmm. you know, and she was fine.
So I am a big emphasis on, if your nervous system is being disrupted by the thought of your child's nervous system being dysregulated, so
right.
them crying,
right.
like I said, put them in a place where you can actually still respond and they can hear you. So I'm not a big proponent
yeah.
of, like, separation, if especially if that's going to make your anxiety worse, and
yeah.
it does, it can. So helping yourself meet your own needs while you also can still respond to your baby. And then once you pick them up after you wash your hair, you can make that repair, but you've also probably not caused as much of a rupture because
yeah.
you're still responding. You're
yeah,
still there.
That.
They can sense you, hear you.
Yes.
Maybe you're singing a song to kind of hum to yourself to regulate your own nervous system. And then
yeah.
you're also co-regulating with them at the same time. So I'm a big proponent of, like, how can we regulate you first and foremost, meet your basic needs, help heal you so that you can give that to your child.
Oh, that's really, really useful information. Very great. All right, Kelsey, we are over time, out of time. I feel like we could continue this conversation many, many times over. So perhaps we can, you know, come back with another topic. Perinatal mental health is so, so important. Thank you so much for coming on to talk about it. Tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you. You know, if you're on social media, if you're taking clients and that kind of information.
Yeah. On social media, you can find me at The Perinatal Social Worker on Facebook and Instagram. I am taking clients at Riverstone Wellness Center. I should have some openings in January.
And that's in Little Rock.
In Little Rock, mm-hmm. Arkansas. But I also do telehealth across the state. So
that's wonderful.
Telehealth and then in person if you want to drive.
or if you're in Little Rock, you know.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
well, Kelsey, thank you so much for coming on, talking about this
me.
So important topic. Again, I love that we just normalize these conversations.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us are struggling. Life is messy.
Yes.
And that is okay.
Yes. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Healthy Hot Springs from the Razorback Camper Sales Studios. Join us every Wednesday as we discuss a different topic related to keeping hot springs healthy.